Would you please join me in a time of prayer? God, we thank you for your amazing grace. Grace that is incalculable. Grace that is overflowing. Grace that we haven't earned and we don't deserve. We thank you that we can always trust in your love. We can always trust that when the hard times hit, that you do make seas into highways. And God, as we begin our time of worship, we ask that you would just be here with us, that your spirit would just overflow on this place so that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I want to thank you for all the people in the past who have sacrificed to make this country what it is. Thank you for those who have given that last full measure of devotion so that we can come and worship you in freedom. I want to, just as we go about this weekend, remember it's more than just barbecues, it's more than just family time, it's remembering those who have gone on before us. And God, I want to thank you for your sacrifice, for your son Jesus Christ, who has given his life so that we can enjoy a better life. And it's in his name we pray, amen. You all can be seated. Let's give a round of applause for our worship team. Let's also, we don't do this every week, but also very important. Let's give a round of applause for our tech team. They do such a good job. The tech team somehow makes me sound good, so you know they're pretty good at their jobs. We have, where is he? Eli. He's over here. He's there. I kept looking around. Yeah, Eli, we're introducing him not just because he did a great job on the piano. He did. But also because he's our new children's director. So he'll be starting in July. So if you want to get to know him, talk to him after the service. He'll be around. So we're really excited to have Eli on staff. Good to see you, Eli. We also have some other exciting things going on here at SCC. We got some great classes over in the adult portable. Next week, we're going to be learning about how dinosaurs interact with Christianity. So that will be June 5th and June 12th. Next Sunday, speaking of June 5th, we are doing youth baptisms. You know, Jennifer and I, there's, you know, some transition going on. She's going to be heading out, which is why Eli, you know, is our new children's director. And we said, youth baptisms, you know, I don't know if we'll do it this year. But we had so many youth who wanted to get baptized, we said, we have to do it. So that's really exciting. So it'll be June 5th, Port Williams Beach at 3 o'clock. Love to have you all there to celebrate all these new people who are coming into the kingdom of heaven. Speaking of the kingdom of heaven, there's some great work being done in Southeast Asia. That is, we're going to talk about that June 12th. We're going to be, one of our congregation members is going to be heading there, so she's going to talk about what she's going to be doing. So if you want to learn about missions in Southeast Asia, or you just want to get a free lunch, sign up online, because that's going to be happening after our 11 o'clock service on June 12th. Let's see if there's anything else we need to talk about here. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, in case you all didn't know that. So we obviously appreciate all the sacrifices that have been made in our country's history, and we will not be having the office open tomorrow. So if you come tomorrow, there won't be anybody here. Finally, on the outline that you have, I'm going to switch two of the points, point A and point B in the third section are going to be switched. So just keep your eye out for that as that's going on. If you're not following the outline, then great, you don't have to worry. We're going to have Doug Brundage coming up. Doug, our finance guy, also does so much work around the church, trimming bushes and making sure all the vegetation looks good.
Yeah.
So if you go out there and you say, wow, that grass looks really good, you can thank Doug.
And I have some friends too.
And so, oh, definitely, definitely a lot of people.
Doug and Friends.
Yeah. Sounds like a good band name.
Yeah. Please follow along. Joshua 4. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them at a place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each tribe of Israel, and he told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you will tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever.'" So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, each one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day.
All right, thank you, Doug. Really appreciate that. Also, I should probably mention, I'm the youth director here. My name is Keith Sandell. I realize I didn't introduce myself. Some of y'all might not know who I am, so I'm, you know, I do work here on staff. I'm not just somebody who came up and decided I was going to talk today. So with that out of the way, when I was younger, my family would always take vacations to the beach, and these are some of the highlights of my childhood. I look forward to these every summer. And I love the change of pace from our daily lives. Staying in a cozy cabin, eating around the bonfire, looking for shells in the sand. And I enjoyed how different this place was from my hometown. Tucked away from everything, miles away from the nearest convenience store, neighbors nowhere to be seen, just a cozy cabin with a trail to the beach. And these vacations were great. They're some of the highlights of my childhood. But without fail, at the end of every time we were there, I longed to go home. I wanted to sleep in my own bed. I yearned for my neighborhood. I wanted to see my friends. Our beach cabin, it was great for short-term stays, but not for long periods of time. It was an amazing place to visit, but not a good spot to live. And that applies to what we're talking about today. On Memorial Day, we look backwards. We vacation to years gone by. But while we visit the past, we need to remember that we're called to live in the present. But we should travel to the past because it has a great amount of value. And one of the reasons we journey backwards is so we can enjoy successes. This is why so many people travel backwards in time. And there's a term for this when we go to years gone by and relive some of the glory days. Anyone know what this term is called? It starts with an N. Nostalgia, yeah. Chris has heard it, so he knows. He's heard my sermon 3 times, so that was fast. I'm a youth pastor, so we're going to have some give and take here. We're going to have some back and forth, so just get ready for that. But nostalgia is a powerful force, right? Hollywood understands this. There's a reason why almost every movie that's made is a remake or a sequel or a prequel or a spinoff. I mean, when the new Star Wars movies came out a few years ago, I told my friends, I said, these could be the worst movies ever made. These could get terrible critical reviews. They could have 30 minutes of grass growing in these movies, but you better be sure that no matter how bad these movies are, I'm still going to go see them. I will be in the front row opening night, just excited that there are more Star Wars movies. And why? You know, why is that? Well, it's because I remember the originals. I grew up watching them. I fondly remember my dad and I enjoying them together. Star Wars takes me back to a time that was simpler. I'm nostalgic. My positive memories of the past drove my behavior in the present. And this force of nostalgia, our willingness to remember, our willingness to reminisce, God understands its power as well. God uses it to remind us of Him. So our positive memories of the past can drive our faithfulness in the present. That's what we see in this passage. In the last chapter, God performed a mighty miracle. The Israelites approached the Jordan River and they had no means of crossing. No bridges, no boats. It looked like they were stuck. But then God caused the Jordan to stop flowing so his people could walk across on dry land. Because of God, the Israelites successfully crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land. And because of God, the Israelites would successfully cross over from a leadership between Moses and Joshua. With all this transition looming ahead, God wanted to give his people a reminder, a memorial to his faithfulness, so that whenever the Israelites would doubt, whenever they would think, is God really here with us in the present? They could go back to the past, and they could see that if God was faithful then, he's going to be faithful now. And that's why I believe God gives us nostalgia. Yeah, it's great to have childhood memories we go back to. It's amazing to remember winning touchdowns or favorite movies. But the true purpose of nostalgia is to draw us to God, to remember what he has done, to look back on his successes, on his faithfulness. We take comfort in dwelling on the ways that God has worked in us previously. And God has worked in our past. That's why we're all here today. Something in the past has brought you to this church service. God has done something. So one reason we journey backwards is to enjoy and be strengthened by successes. Another reason we visit the past is so we can learn. We can learn from mistakes. You know, what I love about the Bible is that it's honest. Sometimes, shockingly so. You know, the people we find in the Bible, they're not spiritual superhumans. They're not amazing all-stars. They're people, just like us. People who have good days and people who have bad days. People who follow God faithfully for one season of life, and then the next, they don't. People who are human. The Bible is honest in its character, strengths, and its shortcomings. We read of the failures of those who have come before us in the faith. We hear about Moses' disobedience towards God, of David's unfaithfulness, of Peter's denial, of the disciples' abandonment. And the blessing we have of being 21st century believers is we can learn from these mistakes. We can see their struggles so that perhaps we could avoid them. And this reflection can and should go beyond Scripture. You know, when we flip through the pages of history and the pages of our own lives, we're going to see people. People who sometimes have good days and sometimes have bad days. People who did some great things, but also who messed up, who fell short. And the blessing we have is that we can learn from these mistakes. We can look back at the history of the world and the history of our lives, and we can know what failures to avoid. The past can serve as a guide, as a helper, to direct us away from the failings of years gone by. So we visit the past to enjoy successes, we visit the past to learn from failures, and we visit the past so we can understand the present. There's a story that happened a few years ago which illustrates the importance of understanding what has gone on before. So there was a church that had a very rich history in their community. They had been around for several hundred years, and this church was even visited by John Wesley. Now, John Wesley, for those of you who don't know, was a preacher in the 1700s, very famous, akin to somebody today like Billy Graham or Rick Warren. And when John Wesley was at this church, he planted an oak tree. And 200 years later, this tree still stood. It was so important to this congregation that even though it was really close to the building and it kind of blocked one of the doors, they worked around it. They built alternate entrances and exits. They worked with the city to make sure everything was up to code. This tree, one of their prized possessions. Well, in the late 1990s, the time came for this congregation to hire a new pastor, and they got someone fresh out of seminary. And this pastor, he was scheduled to start on Sunday, but he came in Saturday just to look at things, make sure everything was where it should be, see where he'd be preaching. And lo and behold, when he got there, he saw the tree. He saw how it was right up against the church building, how it was a bit of an eyesore, and he said to himself, how has nobody dealt with this yet? Why is this still here? And he said, well, I'm going to get rid of it. And won't everyone be so surprised when they come in tomorrow to see what a hardworking pastor they have? And so this man cut the tree down. And the next day, people were pretty surprised, but not for the reason the pastor thought. And this is perhaps the quickest employment anyone has ever had at a church. And the mistake this pastor made is that he didn't understand why the tree was there. He didn't realize, appreciate the past. And sometimes we make this same error. We don't understand why things are in the here and now. Because here's the truth. The present didn't just pop into being. The world did not start when we were born. No, our families, our society, our world, us, we all have roots in the past. And the more we understand where we've been, the more we'll understand where we are. And that's not to say we should never change, we should never do anything differently, but it is to say that before we go cutting down trees, we should probably know why the trees are there. So journeying to the past has a great deal of value because we can enjoy successes, we can learn from failures, and we can understand the present. It's great to visit the past, but we're called to live in the present. Great to visit the past, but we're called to live in the present. Enjoying successes from years gone by, it's incredible. Nostalgia, it's a beautiful emotion, but it's beautiful in small doses. Too much nostalgia leads us to staying in the past. Some of us want to cling on to our high school years, or first loves, or family members gone by. But as much as we might want it, those days aren't really here anymore. And when we spend too much time in the past, we're not really here anymore either. Our present life story should never be sacrificed to stay in past glory days. And here's why. Here's what I know to be true. You have a purpose right now. You have a function to fulfill. God has called you to something on this earth. And you might say, Keith, you don't understand. My days of success are behind me. I'm too old. I can't make an impact anymore. And to that I would say, John didn't finish penning Revelation until his 70s. Moses didn't start his ministry until his 80s. Abraham and Sarah didn't receive God's promise until their 90s. And here's what's crazier. Abraham and Sarah raised Isaac into their hundreds. Moses didn't end his ministry until 120. Okay, quick show of hands out there. Who in the audience is 120 or older? Anyone, hands up. Okay, I see no hands. So that means that you're not too old to be used by God, that God still has something for you on this earth. God still has people for you to love. And we can only accomplish God's will in the present when we're in the present. We have successes in the past, and we also have a function in the here and now. But there could be another reason that you're struggling to live in the present. Maybe you're not drawn to past successes, but instead to past mistakes. You regret the words or actions you spoke weeks or months or years ago. Guilt gnaws at you. But just as we're called to not stay in our past successes, we're also not supposed to stay in our past messes. I said earlier we should learn from our mistakes. I didn't say we should live in them. Our scripture verses today illustrate this point beautifully. They take place at a turning point in the history of Israel. Before this passage, the children of God were slaves in Egypt, and then they were slaves to their idolatry. They were hungry for food, and then they were hungry for something more. They were lost in the wilderness, and then they were lost in their grumbling. The Israelites had so much baggage, so much past mistakes and failures. But then God does this. He opens up a way for them. He separates the Jordan. He clears a path. He makes a way for them to leave behind their old life and begin again in the promised land. And if the Israelites should ever doubt, should ever wonder about the newness that God has called them to, they have these stones, these remembrance of when God opened up a way for them to begin a new life. And like the Israelites, we were once slaves, but not to Egypt, to our sin. We were once hungry for something more. We were once lost in our own passions. And when we couldn't go any farther on our own, God made a path. Jesus made a way. A way for us to leave behind our old lives and begin again. With his death and resurrection, Jesus put an end to our sin and raised us to new life. Look, if you're anything like me, sometimes this is hard to remember. And we get drawn into our regrets and our mistakes that doubt and guilt just continue to seep in. But when that happens, God has given us a sign to remember, something to look to remind us of this new life God has given us. And it is far better than stones of remembrance. It is a symbol that if you go to any church that is worth its salt, you're going to find. The symbol of when Jesus made a way for us. The cross. A reminder that when we are in Christ, there is no longer any condemnation. The symbol of when God said our sins are forgiven. That they've been nailed to the cross and they are no more. The place where God said we're forgiven. And if the judge of the universe says I'm forgiven, I don't think I should argue. If the God of creation says you're forgiven, I don't think you should disagree. God says our sins have been blotted out, and so they are. Whenever you feel the weight of your past mistakes, look to our symbol. Look to the cross. So don't stay in your past successes or your past messes. The present offers us function, forgiveness, and a future. We live in the present because there's a future. You know, one of the things I love about kids, and I love working with kids. There's actually a lot of things I love about kids. You know, one of them is that kids have so much energy. Boy, if I had that much energy, get so much more work done. Kids also ask some of the best questions. You know, last time an adult asked me what my favorite animal is? Never. The adults never ask me that. But kids, I've gotten asked that question so many times, and it's great, and I love talking about it. It's a jaguar. You can ask me later why. But kids, there's so many positive things about them. But one of my favorites, and one of the reasons I love working with them, is because kids are innocent. They're naive. They're hopeful. You know, kids believe the world is a good place. And at one point, we all believe that too. But then something happened. That illusion got shattered. We saw wars and sickness and pain and suffering. We realized the world, in a lot of ways, isn't good and still isn't good. But here's my hope for this generation of children and for everyone to come after them. The kids will believe the world is a good place because we've made it a good place, because it is a good place. That we have been such effective light that we have dispelled all darkness. that we have loved so greatly that there is no longer any hate, that we have promoted peace to the point that there is no more conflict, that we have been so Christ-like in the present that the future is better than where we are now. That seems really nice, doesn't it? And that's the world we have the opportunity to create. Are we going to do that? I mean, not perfectly. We're human. We're going to mess up. We're going to fall short. We'll make some mistakes along the way. But that's what we should be working towards, to pass on a future better than our present, to give generations that come after us a world filled with more light and more love and more hope and, most importantly, more Jesus. One day, we're going to be the past someone looks back to. So let's make it something we're proud of. We live in the present because of the future yet to come. So in conclusion, the past has a great amount of value, for there we can enjoy successes, we can learn from failures, and we can understand the present. But we don't stay in the past, because in the present, we have function, we have forgiveness, and we have a future. Visit the past, but live in the present. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Lord and Savior, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all the opportunities you give us to live. And God, we just want to ask that as we leave this worship service, that we would remember all the great things you've given us. You've given us life and hope and love and joy. And we go out into the world that so desperately needs those things. So let us go out with the victory of the cross. Let us remember that you have assured that you've already won. And so let's give some good news to a world that hasn't heard good news in a long time. I want to thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all the work you've done in our past, all the work you're doing in our present, and all the work you will continue to do in our future. And now, in the words of St. Augustine, let us leave the past to God's mercy, the present to God's love, and the future to God's providence. Amen.
Amen.